Do you know what time it is? It's supernatural story time. And if you're easily scared, and even if you're not, there's only one thing left to do. Just turn off the lights, because these are stories that you listen to only in the dark. A ghost named Sam. My story actually takes place at my boyfriend's home. The first thing that I noticed was that the master bedroom and bathroom always seemed so much colder than the rest of the house. I dismiss this due to heavier curtains in the room, not as much direct sunlight, etc. There were also things that were moved around or just a strange feeling of not being alone. My very rational mind allowed me to explain all of the incidents away, but after so long, you stop coming up with excuses. The first thing that happened that really caught my attention was one afternoon, we decided to take a nap. I clearly remember taking my shoes off at the back door so I wouldn't track through the house. Well, when we woke up, the shoes were sitting right outside of the bedroom door, perfectly lined up. It startled me so much because I knew no one else was in the house but me and him, and he was lying beside me still asleep. Another incident is one night, he was working late and I stayed over waiting for him to get off. As I was watching TV, I kept touching my face. I felt like I had a spider web or a hair on my left cheek. Nothing was there and my left cheek was ice cold to the touch. Was she touching my face? I finally fell asleep watching Will and Grace on Lifetime. An hour or so later, I was awakened by the TV blaring and it somehow had been changed to USA and an episode of JAG was on. I finally told my boyfriend about these things that had been happening and he very calmly told me, "Oh, that's just Samantha. She's here all the time." I couldn't believe what I was hearing. He said she's always changing the channels, turning on radios, moving things around, and twice she has slapped him in the face to wake him up so he wouldn't be late for work. He doesn't mind her being there and never feels threatened by her. Only once has he ever seen anything. He saw in the living room a bright light streak from one side to another. It appeared and disappeared right in front of his eyes. When I asked him how he knows her name was Samantha, he just says that's what he feels her name is. Well, what do you think? The girl in the tree. When I was a teenager, I loved to go to a particular hangout not far from where our high school was located. It was a fairly popular place for students to congregate after school and games because it was tucked away from the main road and pretty private. It was actually in a small park that had once been a playground back in the 70s and 80s. I had been out there a lot by myself. Especially around dusk and just after nightfall because, like I said, it was pretty quiet and a peaceful place and I enjoyed that time to myself. There were all kinds of stories about what used to be there, things that had happened there and so on. I always just thought that everyone told us those stories because the parents and the local police alike didn't like us all getting together out there and causing trouble. Plus, only a few people ever said they saw or felt anything out there. I was not one of them. A lot of people did go out to the old park to smoke, etc., sometimes to meet and have a fight, or whatever. But for the most part, it was just a place for us to hang out without our parents glaring over our shoulders, giving us a hard time. There were actually three tales that I had heard consistently about regarding the old park. The first one was about an old graveyard that used to be back there before most of the area around it had been developed. That the city had voted back in the 30s or 40s to move it when a new highway was scheduled to come through close by, which would raise land prices, taxes, etc. And they were afraid no one would want to develop next to an old cemetery. So the city moved the graves and headstones and that the area was haunted by angry spirits who were disturbed in the rest. The second story was that their area used to house an old jail during the Civil War and that there had been gallows there. They just said the captured soldiers and criminals alike were hanged and beheaded there and that. Again, there were angry spirits there who had lost their lives on that piece of ground. The third story revolved around the old playground that used to be there back in the late 70s and early 80s. The story says that the city council put up a playground on the grounds to bring the community together and because the high school used to be a middle school and a high school combined, which it actually was. Supposedly, the town had a major growth spurt during the time period, and they dedicated the small park to bring togetherness in the community, holding picnics and town social events there, fairs and festivals and whatnot. During one festival, there was a group of kids playing on the playground. A group of children was supposedly picking on one of the younger girls, chasing her around and being mean to her. The girl was on the merry-go-round when the group grabbed a hold of the bars and started spinning her around faster and faster. The little girl got scared and tried to jump off, except when she did, her dress got caught on one of the metal bars and pulled her underneath. The merry-go-round had so much inertia that it dragged her under, and she ended up with several broken bones, including a broken neck. The kids ran away in horror but didn't tell any of the adults what had happened. It wasn't until later, on that same evening, that they found her when one of the frightened children told what had happened, because by this time the whole community was looking for her. They found her bloody and bruised body under the merry-go-round. She had died hours before, right when she was pulled under. Well, I'm a skeptic, and I never bought any of the story, so I thought I'd investigate and see if anything really happened at all. Well, I looked through land records and burial records, and there was never any evidence that anyone had been buried there. No record of a controversial vote to move a cemetery, so I wrote that one off as a bunch of bull. The second story about there being a jail there seemed unlikely because we live in an area where not much went on during the Civil War. I couldn't find anything about battles fought near there or anything about prisons or jails anywhere near our town either, so that one seemed obviously sensationalized. But the last story seemed like maybe it was plausible, because the high school had been expanded several years ago and the middle school moved down the street from us when they split. I had seen old pictures of the park when the playground equipment had been there, but had never seen proof of anyone being killed there. I started looking up on the internet for deaths in the town and murders, killings, so on and forth. Well, I found nothing as I had expected. I let it go for a while and forgot all about it, until one night I was out at the park around dusk by myself. I felt really odd all of a sudden, got the chills. It wasn't a particularly cold night either. It was late summer, and the fall chill hadn't really come in yet. I stood to attention when I heard a rustling in the bushes near where I was parked. Thinking it was an old stray dog or something, I got in the car. Well, what happened next was pretty weird, to say the least. I heard a little girl crying, sobbing really loudly. I freaked out and started to call out to see who was there and if they needed help. Well, I didn't have a flashlight or anything, but I kind of peered into the coming darkness but couldn't see anything. I yelled out several times, but the crying had stopped and no one answered. I got in the car and shined the headlights in the general area of the noise. What happened next set my blood cold and freaked me out. I saw a figure, not really clearly, in a little tattered dress standing next to the tree line. She was covered in dirt and her face looked tear-stained. Well, I jumped out of the car to see what was wrong with her and she was gone. I yelled out into the trees and ran over to see if I could help her, but there was nothing except a chill in the air. I rushed home and told my mother what had happened, since this was before cell phones were a major deal. We called the police and filed a report. It was on the news the next morning, but no missing person reports had been filed in our county or any of the surrounding counties. I was freaked out, to say the least. Everyone thought I made the whole thing up just to stir commotion and try to scare everyone. Then people started asking me if I thought I had seen a ghost, maybe of the little girl. I was mad that no one believed me, but I was starting to get scared and freaked out even more about what I'd seen. I started researching the local library files for old newspaper clippings about the town. I spent several days looking through old microfilm about anything that may have happened in the park back then. Sure enough, back in 1982, there was a front page article on Tragedy Strikes Local Park. I read it and found that the story about the little girl was true. She really had died out there. It followed the story fairly closely, except the newspaper said they didn't find her body until the next morning because none of the kids told what had happened until then. The town was in despair and the parents of the little girl moved away with their young son. After I found this information, I had it all printed out and showed my parents and my friends. Of course, I was scared to death then, thinking I had seen a ghost. Rumors started flying and then ghost sightings at the park became a regular occurrence. The mayor was so disturbed that he even hired a psychic and a ghost hunter to come out and investigate. Supposedly, they had both felt a presence and determined that the little girl was haunting the area still. They had many ideas about what to do about the haunting, and most seemed ridiculous. Finally, one of the council members suggested that the town erect a small memorial to the young girl, maybe to recognize the loss and show respect at least. Once they put up the memorial, the stories died down, and so did the sightings. To this day, I still don't know what happened to me that night. It was possible it was my imagination, considering I had been wandering about the old park anyway. Or maybe, just maybe, I really had seen a ghost. Either way, I'm glad they put up that memorial. It was respectful, and maybe it put her spirit at ease. I never went back there alone, not especially when it was dark. But that is one night I will never forget, because it sparked a series of events that I feel to this day are still unexplainable. The Haunted Antique Shop. About 11 years ago, my mom wanted to take the grandkids to Vicksburg for a good history lesson. My daughter Elizabeth was around 14 and my son Joey was around 9. My sister Sandy and her son Jeremy went with us. We all went to the graveyards and homes we could tour. We decided to go to what had once been the downtown to see the old stores. We found what had once been an old JCPenney store. It had been turned into an antique store. We all went in, but Mom got tired and went back to the van along with Elizabeth. Jeremy left to go buy some candy. Sandy and I walked around a few minutes and realized we did not know where Joey went, so we started looking for him. She went upstairs and I looked on the ground floor. We could not find him anywhere. Finally, I went to the top of the stairs that led to the basement. For some reason, I did not want to go down there. We called them to no avail. Finally, I started down the stairs. I only got about halfway when I was overcome with something that remains with me still. First, I was overcome with pain, then with fear. I became so hungry I could have eaten bark on a tree. The feeling of being sick was so strong. Even though it was in the summer, I began to shiver. The smell of something very old or something that had been dead for a long time was almost overpowering. Then I started to feel myself being pulled at. There seemed to be people all around me pulling at me. They seemed to be trying to pull at my life force. My sister was not far behind me. I finally broke free and ran back up the stairs. When I looked back down, my sister was standing on the same step I had been on. A few seconds later, she broke free and made a mad run back up the stairs. We looked at each other for a moment. Finally, my sister looked at me and asked about Joey. I told her whatever was down there could have him. A second later, Joey was looking at us from the bottom of the stairs. Later at the hotel, I asked Joey what he was doing down there, and he told me a man dressed funny had showed him where some old fishing tackle was. I never saw any man. Today he has no memory of it, but as for Sandy and me, we cannot forget it. Haunted Appalachia. I grew up in the beautiful Appalachian Mountains bordering Virginia and West Virginia. While growing up, I had several very interesting experiences that I would like to relate. The first occurred when I was very young, around 5, I believe. My parents ran a bed and breakfast they called the Colonial Inn in a very small town. I was awakened one night to go to the bathroom, but before I could leave the room, I heard someone coming up the stairs. Thinking it was my parents, I called out to them. I got no response, so I turned my head to see through the slightly open bedroom door, where I saw a dark hooded figure standing, staring at me. Quite naturally, I was terrified and completely speechless. The figure then turned and continued towards the staircase to the 3rd floor. My story does not end there, however. The following morning, my father started scolding my brother and I. Apparently, he had made certain he had closed the window at the end of the hallway on the 3rd floor before going to bed the night before, and that this morning it was wide open. He was certain my brother or I had done it. When I told my mother about it, she was strangely quiet. Many years later, after several moves in several different towns, all of them still in the mountains, my mother rented a small old farmhouse out in the country. She had originally intended for me or my brother to take the large finished attic, but none of us were comfortable in the cold, drafty attic, so we both took the room at the foot of the attic steps. Every night, we shut the door to the attic and drew the latch to keep it closed. Almost every morning, the door would be wide open again. Late at night, I would hear shuffling footsteps going up and down the attic steps. As you can imagine, I didn't sleep well there. Standing from my bedroom window and looking out across the cow pasture in front of our home, I would see a strangely overgrown patch on a hill in the distance. Sometimes, later in the day, I would see strange lights like giant red and blue fireflies flickering around in the overgrown area. I pointed it out to my mother, and she agreed it was odd to see an overgrown patch like that in a cleared-out cow pasture, so we walked over there one day. You can imagine our surprise as we fought our way through the thorns and brush to discover an extremely old graveyard. Some of the graves dated back to the Civil War, many so old they were sunken into the ground. We found it abominable that someone had lost track of a graveyard like this, so we told the owner of the property, who admitted he had recently purchased the property and had no idea it was even there. It was in an effort to respect the owners that I withheld the names and locations of these buildings and this graveyard. As far as histories are concerned, I have very little, unfortunately. There was some information on the inn my parents owned, old pictures mainly that showed the inn standing when the town itself had been hit by a horrible flood that killed many people. As far as the farmhouse, however, I have located very, very little. I heard rumors from a neighbor that an elderly woman was murdered in my attic, but I could find no basis to prove those rumors. Also, all the efforts I have made to trace the old graveyard have also been in vain. More than likely, the graves were moved. But someday I would like to return to these two houses in which I spent a part of my youth. Perhaps I can get some pictures so I'll have more than memories. Perhaps I will find out who were these unknown spirits. My best friend, my dog. My best friend in the whole world was my dog, Zeppelin. He was a big, beautiful blue heeler. My parents got him for me when I was 8 years old, and because of my love for the band, he was named Zeppelin. Zepp used to go everywhere with me. We only lived a few blocks from school, so whenever I walked to school in the morning, he would follow me right to the steps and then run back home when I was inside. He used to have those funny little things that he would do that I'll never, ever forget. One of them was the way he used to push around his food bowl to the door of my bedroom in the mornings and wait for his food. It was kind of a pain because if he didn't finish his food the day before, I would walk out and step in a mucky bowl of dog food in the morning, and he would sit there and smile at me till I carried it back to the kitchen and filled it back up for him. Zepp lived to be 17 years old, and he passed away peacefully under my bed where he usually slept when I wasn't home. That was the hardest day of my life, but at least I knew he went in peace. But it wasn't until after Zeppelin had passed that strange things started to happen around the house. For the first few nights after he was gone, I would always think I was dreaming of him because I could feel him jump up on my bed and breathe his smelly dog breath all over me, which I loved. Then after a few nights, these happenings seemed to be a little more real than I thought, especially when I walked out of my bedroom one morning and stepped in his old food dish, which had been pushed to my door. But we had put his food dish away in the cupboard a few days earlier. I asked my brother, who is my roommate in the same house now, if he had put the dish there, just to scare me or make me feel better, but he didn't. I wondered if Zeppelin was still hanging around the house. Several nights after that, I would walk out to find his dish by the bedroom door. After about the third time it happened, I knew that Zepp just didn't think he had gone and was continuing his old routine in the house. To this day, I can still feel him jumping on my bed in the night and making that deep doggy sigh I used to make before going to sleep. But when I look, there is no dog there, and I still wake up to find his dish waiting to be filled right outside my bedroom door. Now, most people would grow a little scared of an unseen presence in their house, but I know Zepp is there to do what he loved most, to love me and watch over me, even in the afterlife. New Orleans Ghost Stories. There were about 25 to 30 dead bodies recovered on my block alone after Katrina tore through New Orleans. I live in a parish called Lakeview, which with the Ninth Ward was obliterated by the storm a few years back. I moved into this house from Florida with my roommate, Rusty, roughly 8 months ago. I heard how haunted New Orleans was as a city in general, and having never seen a ghost in my life, moving here just made it that much more exciting for me. I noticed instantly the change around me. I started seeing shadows moving in my peripheral vision a lot. It didn't really frighten me, just frustrated me. I was getting tired of the constant debate on whether paranormal activity is an actual event or something we imagine. I worked at a couple of old bars in the French Quarter, one dating back to the early 1800s. The more I would see the shadows, the more I would try and provoke an incident, even going as far as making a bar patron wait for his drink while I went in the back to yell at the ghosts. After many frustrating near sightings, I had just about lost hope that a time would ever come when I would see something that I couldn't logically explain. Hell, even the shadows in the corner of my eye could have been just that, shadows. The time did come, however. It was around 4:30 a.m., and the assistant manager of the bar was just walking out the door. I was counting beer in the back and started walking down to a hall to the coolers. There was a real old stairway on my left that led up to the office and where we store all our juices. I was looking down at the sheet I was working on when I heard someone start up the stairs at a very fast pace. I thought nothing of it, thinking it was Randy, the manager, coming back to get something he forgot. I looked up at the stairs anyway, because let's face it, ghosts aren't the only things famous in New Orleans, and I wanted to make sure it wasn't some bum trying to run in and hide for the night. When I looked up the stairs, it was almost 3/4 of the way up, moving at an extremely fast pace. I saw dark legs and a waist, but the ceiling was blocking the top half. Now, the way it looked, the legs were very clear, pants, and I could even make out small shoes, but it was all one solid color, like a black mass, like a shadow. I instinctively began running up the stairs after the person, still just thinking I was going to either find my manager, Randy, or some dude trying to rob me. It probably took 2 times longer for me to get up the stairs than it did for this guy. I remember thinking that when I was running up about the halfway, I slowed down a pretty good bit. Now, I'm no Spartan, but I'm pretty fast. It was just so much faster. Oh, and there was nobody upstairs at all. No exits up there either. I think that might have been a fire hazard. After that incident, I started getting really excited and started researching a bit more of the haunting of New Orleans and the surrounding areas, even going to the Myrtles Plantation in St. Francisville to try and catch some ghosts. I have a pretty good picture of something from there, but that was all I got. Well, things have been interesting, but now it's starting to suck. I have a lot of shadows that walk by the doors now. It used to be like the ghosts were hiding from me by moving out of sight just when I looked. Now it's like I know that they are there because they are coming in the house now. The dog stares at nothing in the kitchen. He's a really smart dog. If I say kill it when he's all posted up at attention, he will go crazy at whatever he is looking at. But when he's posted up in the kitchen and I say kill it, he just wants as if to say he's already dead. I see deep, deep shadows in midair in the kitchen also. This morning, it went a step too far. I was trying to get back to sleep after being woken up by a very subtle vibration on the bed. I was lying on my stomach with my legs slightly spread apart. Then it felt like someone was pushing down on the bed. I felt the bed sink in the middle of my legs and to the outside of my left leg, like someone was leaning over my waist area. Naturally, being wide awake, I freaked out and kicked the blankets off and slid to the head of my bed, looking around the room and saw nothing. I have to say also that the room just felt weird. I'm not some kind of medium or anything. The room just felt thick and weird. I lay back down to see if I could feel anything else. I know it sounds crazy or stupid to do, but like I said, I was tired of debating the fact of their existence. Yes, the running up the stairs was cool and Myrtle's was creepy, but to get a chance to feel something was an opportunity I couldn't pass up. I lay exactly the way I was when I felt it the first time, thinking this could provoke whatever it was to try something else. I pulled the heavy quilt up around my shoulders and closed my eyes. Not even 10 seconds went by when I started to feel my mattress sink again around my legs. The pressure was not on me, but I could feel the bed sinking in. I kept my eyes closed and felt as if whoever was leaning over me stood back up because the mattress that was being pushed below my legs returned to normal. Then I felt an abrupt shake near my waist again, just hitting the mattress. I instantly opened my eyes but stayed still. I saw the quilt that was bunched up on my shoulders lift up and fold back. Only a little piece of the blanket, not the whole thing. That's when things got really sketchy. When I saw the quilt move, I wanted to get the hell out of the bed, but I couldn't move. My body got really tingly. I was completely aware of everything. I know I wasn't breathing, but didn't feel like I was losing air. My eyes were moving in real time, but my body started moving in like super slow motion to a kneeling position in the middle of my bed. I remember getting angry and wanting to just say stop, but I couldn't talk. The best way I can describe it is having complete control of your mind and zero control of your body. In other words, it was scary as hell. While I was on my knees, it felt like I could feel every single blood cell in my body moving, pulsing, I really felt like I was going to die because I knew I still wasn't breathing, but it didn't hurt. Then I slowly started leaning to my right, but I had to be like at a 45 degree angle with nothing supporting the whole side of my body. I was just slowly being laid down on my side. I didn't feel hands holding anything or me like that. If you're on your knees and you ever lean over to fall, your head and body will hit the bed abruptly. My head was so slowly put on the pillow, like gravity wasn't a factor. I really wasn't scared at this point because I knew I had absolutely no control. It was almost like I decided to just go along for the ride. After I was laid back down, I could still feel this pulsing all through my body. If you ever cut off the circulation of blood to your hand for a while and let it go white, when you let it go, you get the crazy tingly feeling. Well, that's how this all ended. I suddenly got that feeling only all over my body at once, like my blood started flowing again. I felt it the most in my lips. I regained control of my legs and used those bad boys to get the hell out of my room. The roadway ghost. My daughter lives in the Midwest and I live down south. I received a phone call from my daughter who was crying uncontrollably, screaming in my ear, and I was not understanding what she was talking about. I told her to calm down and tell me what was wrong. She said she was on her way home from work. It was dark out and she travels lonely back roads to get home, although there's scarce traffic on this particular road and it is very winding. She said that there was a guy walking in the middle of the road. She swerved to miss him and she almost hit a car head on. Being 7 months pregnant, she was hysterical. She pulled over and got out of her car. The two people in the other car saw her condition and asked if she was all right. They asked her why she swerved toward them and she said, "Didn't you see that guy walking in the middle of the road?" Of course, now they think she's crazy. They had seen no one. She told them she swears that there was a guy in the middle of the road wearing blue jeans and a flannel shirt. Again, they insisted that there was no one in the middle of the road. She was beginning to think that she was crazy. She went back to the scene that it had happened the night before. Around the curve and over the railroad trestle, there is a creek below the bridge. Beyond the creek and the bridge, there is a big open field. She went to the library and did some research. She found out there had been numerous wrecks on that winding road and that there was a lot of accidents that had taken lives of young kids who were racing around the curb and had lost control of their vehicles. My daughter is very well grounded. She believes that the guy she saw walking in the middle of the road is a spirit trying to find his way home. Needless to say, she still drives this road at night, and she looks for the guy in the middle of the road. And during the day, she looks for him in the wide open field. To this day, she does not like to talk about it. The ghost of Mr. Peter. In 1994, my husband and I purchased the house that I believed was haunted when we first moved in. It was a small two-bedroom house. We had five children, but we bought it for a really good price and figured we could build onto it. When we first moved in, my husband and I had one bedroom and the kids were sharing the other bedroom while we had two bedrooms built on. My husband worked second shift, so he would get home around 11:30 and I would usually stay up and wait for him. On this particular night, all the kids were down for the night and I was laying across my bed reading a book waiting for my husband to come home. All of a sudden, I felt like something hit my bed really hard and made the whole bed shake. I sat up and looked around, looked over the side of the bed. I couldn't see anything that might have fallen or been thrown. I decided then that our house was probably haunted. I said to no one in particular, "I don't know who you are, just don't bother the kids and we'll be fine." There were several incidents over the next couple of years. The shutter on my camera would open and close. The TV and video game system in the kids' room would turn on and off by itself. One time we were getting ready for a baseball game and couldn't find one of the boys' caps. We looked everywhere, under everything, on top of everything, behind everything, and just could not find it, so we left without it. When we got back home, the cap was laying in the middle of the living room floor. After the bedrooms had been finished, my husband and I moved into one of the new rooms, and our oldest daughter took the room that we had been in. She was cleaning our room one day and heard someone say, "Hello." She looked around and didn't see anyone, so she continued what she had been doing. And in a few minutes, she again heard someone say, a little louder this time, "Hello." She dropped what she was doing and left the room. My oldest daughter was awakened one night by the sound of pots and pans clanging around the kitchen. She went to investigate but couldn't find anything out of place. I was awakened one night by the sound of all the cabinet doors in the kitchen opening and closing. My brother and his girlfriend came to visit and stayed in my daughter's bedroom. My brother swears that while they were trying to go to sleep, he heard someone breathing very loudly. My father also stayed in that room when he came to visit, and he also said that there was something in that room. Nothing ever happened in the new part of the house. After asking around, I found out that the house had been built by a man named Peter. He and his wife had lived there for many years, and shortly after his wife's death, he killed himself right outside the bedroom window. The only other person to have owned the house was a couple and their son. The couple divorced, and the boy had emotional problems and was very destructive to the house. When we moved in, there were holes in the bedroom walls and a lot of minor destruction to the interior of the house. My husband doesn't believe in such things, but the kids and I started calling our ghost Peter. There was a lot of little things that the kids and I witnessed over the first couple of years that we lived there, but it just stopped. I like to believe that Mr. Peter finally saw that we weren't going to cause any further damage to his home and were in fact trying to repair it, and he found some peace and grew quiet and went on to better things than hanging around his old house.